It was a bright sunny morning in the 18th century London, but Robert Robinson's mood was anything but sunny. All along the street, there were people hurrying to church, but in the midst of the crowd, Robinson was a lonely man. The sound of the church bells reminded him of years past, when his faith in God was strong and the church was an integral part of his life. It had been years since he set foot in any church. Years of wandering, disillusionment, and gradual defeat from the God he once loved. The love of God, once fired and passionate, had slowly burned out within him, leaving him dark and cold inside. Then Robinson heard the clip-clop, clip-clop of a horse-drawn cab approaching behind him. Turning around, he lifted his hand to hail the driver. But then he saw that the cab was occupied by a young woman dressed in the finery of the Sabbath day. He waved the driver on, but the woman in the carriage ordered the carriage to be stopped. "Sir, I'd be happy to share this carriage with you," she said to Robinson. "Are you going to church?" Robinson was about to decline. Then he paused. "Yes," he said at last, "I'm going to church." He stepped into the carriage and sat down beside the young woman. And as the carriage rolled forward, Robert Robinson and the woman exchanged introductions. And then there's a flash of recognition in the eyes whenever he stated his name. "That's an interesting coincidence," she said, reaching into her purse. She pulled out a small book of inspirational verse, opened it at a bookmark, and handed the book to him. "I was just reading a verse by a poet named Robert Robinson. Could that be?" He took the book, nodded, "Yes. I wrote those words years ago." "Oh, how wonderful," she exclaimed. "Imagine I'm sharing a carriage with the author of those very lines." But Robinson barely heard her. He was absorbed in the words he was reading. They were words that would one day be set to music and become a great hymn of faith, familiar to generations of Christians. "Come, thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise." His eyes slipped to the bottom of the page where he read, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Robinson could barely read the last few lines through the tears that were brimming in his eyes. "I wrote those words, and I have lived those words. Prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love." The woman suddenly recognized and understood. But then she said, "You wrote, 'Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it.' You can offer your heart again to God, Mr. Robinson. It is not too late." And it wasn't too late for Robert Robinson. In the moment, he turned his heart back to God, and he walked with him for the rest of his life. Perhaps I could ask this morning, the first day of January 2017, where are you in your walk with the Lord? Like the hymn writer, have you found yourself drifting, drifting, drifting away from the Lord? Has the fire that once burned with passion for Christ grown cold? Is God's message for you this morning, new beginnings are possible? Just like the 18th century England, God longs to draw wayward children back home. Just like the time of Josiah, king of Judah, God longs to set your heart on fire for revival. And so this morning I would venture to guess that all of us are ready for a new beginning, a new start in at least one area of our lives. We often make a New Year's resolution. We think about how next year will be better than last. We come to use a fresh look at things. So in anticipation of the coming New Year, I want us to look now at four people who needed a new beginning. They all needed a new beginning for a different reason. And I hope that while we're able to relate to at least one of them. First of all, let us look at Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. Whose heart has not been thrilled by Elijah's exploits? His proclamation to King Ahab. Imagine him going out to King Ahab. For 3.5 years, there were going to be drought. His ministry to the widow of Zarephath, and his victorious battle with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. What a mighty man he was, on fire for God in many different situations. Elijah was greatly used of God. Yet, this is the same man whom we find later under a Jupiter tree in the wilderness, suffering from exhaustion and burnout. Burnout had occurred, can occur in the physical, emotional, and spiritual areas of our lives. And sometimes it affects not only one or two of these areas, but often takes all three, as it did with Elijah. He was physically exhausted from running before King Ahab's chariot some 25 miles to Mount Carmel to the entrance of Jezreel in 1 Kings 18:46. He was emotionally drained, as shown by his wish to die. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life. 1 Kings 18:19-4. And he was spiritually distraught, which was shown by his words, I, even I, only am left. Elijah had been fearless for 3 years. He was now exhibiting symptoms of both stress and burnout. He was exhausted, he was afraid, he was depressed, he was wishing death on himself. He had lost his appetite. He was unable to manage his daily life or his divine calling. He was wallowing in self-pity, and he remains unmoved even when God visits him. And when Elijah was in this state, he was troubled by an angel. The angel told him, get up and eat. And he was able to travel for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, to the Mount of God. The Lord spoke to Elijah and said, what are you doing here? And listen to what Elijah said. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenants and broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. 1 Kings 19:10. Elijah felt both sorry for himself. Elijah was perhaps like someone here this morning. He was tired. He was exhausted. He was depressed. And he was burnt out. Elijah needed a new beginning. Perhaps like some of you today. Maybe you have been running here and running there. You have so many things to do, so much to attend to. You're discouraged. You're exhausted. This morning, if you need a new beginning because you're exhausted and burned out, God is ready to help you and make a choice and have a closer relationship with Him. It is easy to be like Elijah, to become discouraged, to stop fighting, to quit the struggle, to leave the battle, to throw down the baton. But we can't quit. We must answer the Lord's call. We must continue to be soldiers of the cross. We must continue to be weapons in the hands of Almighty God. Because don't forget, the battle belongs to the Lord's, and He has already won the victory. Elijah was suffering from fatigue and burnout and needed a new beginning. Can you identify with him? Do you feel just now exhausted, tired? Do you need a new beginning? The second person I want us to think about is one that needs a new beginning because of failure. That is Peter. We all know Peter by name. Peter knew about second chances. He knew about new beginnings. And more than one occasion, he needed to start over. This morning, perhaps you need a new beginning because of some failure you had last year. You felt like a failure as a parent with your children. You might feel like a failure as a Sunday school teacher, as an elder, as a BB or GB leader, as a youth leader. No matter what you feel your failure has been, there is still a new beginning for you. And whenever we talk about Peter's failure, we come to mention the time that Christ looked at him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." We could speak of the time when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. When he got to Simon Peter, he said to Jesus, "No, you will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you'll have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Or perhaps we could mention his most famous failure of denying Christ 3 times. If you think of one moment that God is going to give Peter all these second chances and not give them to you, then you're wrong. It doesn't matter what areas of your life you think you've failed in, God is just waiting to give you a new beginning. Peter was a failure, but Jesus came to him personally and gave him the opportunity to succeed. Notice that Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" And there were 3 denials. But there were 3 opportunities to affirm his commitment. And the first thing we notice is that recommitment after failure is painful. "You know that I love you." John 21:17 tells us Peter was indeed hurt. And this language conveys the tone as well. The hurt comes from really admitting our failure and moving beyond it. Secondly, note that the encounter is about Peter, not about anyone else. In verses 20 and 22, Peter turns and he sees John behind him. Remember that Peter, James, and John were the trio. He had overheard the whole conversation. Peter understandably says, "Well, what about him?" In other words, "He did it too. What are you going to do with him?" And Jesus says back to Peter, "What does that have to do with you? You follow me." I imagine that Peter was suddenly reminded of the saying that Jesus said about looking to the plank in your own eye before looking at the speck in your brother's eye. So Jesus saying, "Don't worry about what I'm going to do with his life. You focus on what I'm going to do with your life." And then thirdly, note that the encounter was energizing. Jesus gave Peter 3 commands. "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, follow me." And each time Jesus conveys to Peter that he is entrusting him with spiritual responsibility. No matter what Peter's past failure may have been, Jesus still had a job for him to do, and he wants Peter to go after it. And I'm sure that each of us has struggles with feelings of failure, particularly in the spiritual realm. And only the personal encounter with Christ, that opportunity to tell him that we love him, will help us. It is that encounter that will energize us to fully engage in worship and witness and study and sharing and serving. So no matter what our past failures may have been, Jesus still has a job for us to do, and he wants us to get after it. Peter needed a new beginning because of failure. Can you identify with him? Do you feel that you have failed in some way? Then take heart. You can experience a new beginning. Then the third person I want to share with you is David. Again, David is no stranger to us. He needed a new beginning because of sin. You know the story. David was on the roof. He noticed a woman bathing, and he had thought of brought her to the palace. Then he committed adultery. It didn't take David too long to get caught up in a sticky situation with Bathsheba. Reports to David that she is to have a child. As sin often does, one sin leads to another. He invited Uriah to come home from the battle. This, of course, would cover up David's sin. And when that attempt failed, didn't work, he had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed. Nathan comes and rebukes him. He tells David a story about two men. One was rich and had a large number of sheep, and the other was poor and only one little ewe lamb. And Nathan goes on to say that the rich one had some friends coming, and instead of killing one of his own sheep, the rich man chose to kill a poor man's lamb. I'm sure you know the story well. David was angry. He said to the rich man, should pay four times the amount he took. Then Nathan said to him, you're the man. David was caught up in sin, and he needed a new beginning. You see, like David, perhaps someone here today, you have been caught up in sin in the year 2016. You need a new beginning. Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. If you need a new beginning because of sin, God wants to help you have that new beginning. And first of all, we need to take responsibility for our failure. Psalm 51 and verses 2 to 4. Notice that David never blamed Bathsheba. He took personal responsibility for his failure. We need to take personal responsibility for our failure. I can never overcome my failure as long as I blame somebody else for the fault. I sin. I committed the sin. It's my fault. I cannot blame somebody else. David could not blame Bathsheba. It was his own fault. Secondly, we need to ask for forgiveness. Psalm 51, 79. When we know God loves us, we can ask for forgiveness. And when we ask personal responsibility for our failure, we can ask for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to understand the love of God and take personal responsibility for our failure and ask God for forgiveness. And thirdly, we need to turn from our sin. To overcome failure and fall forward, we must turn from our sin. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn from it to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. When we turn from our sin, we can overcome failure. And fourthly, we need to ask God to restore the joy of our salvation. If we're going to overcome failure and fall forward, our life needs to be filled with the joy of our salvation. Why? When there is joy in our salvation, there is no grief and guilt or shame or condemnation because of our failure. It is as if it never happened. David needed a new beginning because of sin. I wonder, can you identify with him? Do you need a new beginning in the first day of the first month of the year 2017 because of sin? And then the fourth and final person I want to consider is found in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. This man had two sons. One day the younger of the two went to his father and asked for his inheritance, which he shouldn't have until after his father's death. In any event, the father gave the younger son his share. Then he took the money and ran. He ran away to a distant country. We're not told why he ran away. It might have been that he didn't like his father's discipline and rules. He could have been picked on by his older brother. We really don't know. You see, the reason for running away isn't the point of the story. The younger son chose to spend all he had in worldly pleasures. And as times became tough, he decided to look for a job. And the young man finds himself feeding the pigs and desiring to eat of their food. We are told, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." So he decided to go home and beg his father for forgiveness. And as he was approaching the familiar place at once he had been at home, his father saw him. And his father was overjoyed and excited, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. He received him with arms open wide. This morning, you might relate to that younger son. You've run away. Maybe not physically, but you may have run away. You run away from a situation in work, a situation at home, a situation in this church. You want to wash your hands of that whole situation. Perhaps you have been even a fallout at work, or at home, or in the church. Perhaps you find yourself running away from God. He has tried to reach you, but you are doing all you can to avoid Him. Whatever you might have been running away from last year, you probably need a new beginning. And I'm sure it's hard to believe, but God is there with open arms, ready to give you a new beginning. The prodigal son shows us a key to the power of God working in us, a key to new life in Christ. We are quit hiding, to quit running away and own up to our great problems and our sin. We are stuck in our problems until we own up to them. I messed up. I threw it all. I was wrong. Our beginning is to face how we can mess up and how we have failed and how our souls are full of greed and falsehood and self-centeredness. Scripture says that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Let us be humble. Go to God and own up to our sin. Father, I sinned against you. If you have been a prodigal, God is watching at the window for your return. If there's something that you need to own up to so that you can receive Christ's forgiveness, God wants you to know He is waiting. Looking back, you might have to admit that there were failure, but that is not how we need to continue. We could decide to attend church more regularly, to be more faithful and devoted in our life to Christ, to encourage one another more, to encourage our children more and our young people more. You may be involved in some aspect of our church program, and last year you considered yourself a failure. Today there's a place for each and every one of us to make a new beginning. Rededicate our life to Christ, and God will bless each and every one who is involved. A new beginning, a new commitment. May we apply that lesson to our hearts today and then go forward and experience God's blessing in our lives and in the life of our church. Elijah needed a new beginning because he was stressed out. He was experiencing burnout. Elijah felt really sorry for himself. Perhaps, like someone here this morning, you're tired, exhausted, depressed, burnt out, can go more long, no longer. Elijah was able to get going again, and so can you. Peter needed a new beginning because of failure. You might feel like a failure as a parent with your children. You might feel like a failure as a Sunday school teacher, as an elder, as a committee man, as a BBA, GB leader, as a youth leader. No matter what you feel your failure is, there's still a new beginning for you. David needed a new beginning because of sin. Do you need a new beginning? Do you need to confess your sin? And ask God to restore you the joy of your salvation? As you think, is there something you need to confess and to forsake? The prodigal son needed a new beginning because he ran away from a situation that he was in and wanted a change. Perhaps you have run away from a situation at work, at home, or in the church. Come back to the Lord and receive his warm welcome. Receive his forgiveness and go forward. Can you identify with one of these four? On this, the first day of the first month of 2017, do you need a new beginning? Do you dare to start that new beginning? We're not talking about New Year's resolutions. We're talking about beginning a God afresh with Christ as our lives. Let us now, in a few moments of prayer, let us now, in a few moments of silence, think how this lesson applies to us personally, and will we approach the new year with dedication and commitment. Lord, we realize that for some of us, we may be able to identify with Elijah. We're stressed out, we're exhausted, we're depressed, we're burnt out. Help us to follow the example of Elijah and get that new beginning. Perhaps for others, like Peter, we feel we're a failure. We feel we've failed in some aspect of our personal life, our work life, our church life. We pray that we might start that new beginning. We realize for others, we feel that we need a new beginning because of sin. Help us to confess that sin and seek God's forgiveness. And perhaps for others, like the prodigal son, we need a new beginning because we have run away from a situation. Whether that situation is at home or at work or in the church, help us to come back to the Lord and receive his warm welcome. We rejoice that we have a faithful God. We rejoice that we have a Father whose open arms are waiting for us. We pray that each and every one of us will know that welcome arm and we'll know that forgiveness and know that cleansing. Now, as we step out into the year 2017, that we will indeed start from this day, start from this moment, to know the Lord is with us, to guide us, to direct us, and to lead us. For we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen.